Hello and good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. On this podcast, we talk all about the Pioneer format, keeping our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined here by my co-host, as well as a special guest.
So I am Ryan Schwenk. I'm the Japan hobbyist, as you all know. I am out of the Tokyo area. I think that's better than just saying Yokohama. I'm out of the Tokyo area of Japan. And today our special guest is Christian Kalkano.
Yes, hello. Right? Hi, yeah.
Yes. I'm always worried about mispronouncing that last name.
No, yeah, you got it right. Unlike my gym teacher who called me Kalkano for 4 years. But yeah. Kalkano is good.
Kalkano is somebody from the Mortal Kombat franchise, I think.
Kano. Yes, I remember Kano.
Yeah. See, I might have tried something like Kalsano. I don't know. Okay. All right, we're all on the same page now. This should be good.
So if you are longtime listeners of our podcast, you might remember that Christian was on one of our previous episodes when we were talking about, you know, how to kind of like get Wizards to start a, you know, Frontier format as a real format. But you know, now that we actually have Pioneer on here, I asked him to come back and join us to kind of talk more about Pioneer. But in case some of our listeners don't know who you are, can you just give us like a rundown, you know, get some details about your life and, you know, your Magic experiences, etc.?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, my name is Christian Kalkano. I'm from New York City. I've played Magic since Scourge, so 2003. I've played professionally since 2010, I would say, although I've been playing much longer than that, of course. And, I've traveled a lot to play most of like the premier level events. I've gotten to the World Championship in recent years, and nowadays not so much like high level Magic, but you know, I'm sticking around. I'm playing what I can, and I'll be in Japan at the end of this month actually to play some.
Are you coming?
Yeah, I'm gonna play at the Player's Tour, so I'm excited for that.
So you're not coming? Are you coming for Grand Prix Nagoya as well?
Well, it's the same event, basically. They're run parallel. Side by side.
Dang, I haven't signed up, but I think I'm signing up now, so I can just come say hello. I got to tell Bobby to sign up too, our friend.
Yeah.
So we have a mutual friend. Just to let you know, Kevin.
Okay, makes sense. So if you're not keeping up quite as much with the professional scene, does something like Pioneer interest you in that? Do you find that it's a little bit easier to kind of keep up with a format that's new but not rotating every few years or a few months?
Well, yeah. I mean, so far, my initial impressions of Pioneer are that I think the format's pretty great. It reminds me a lot of Extended, which was probably my favorite constructed format. So, yeah, so far, like, you know, it's a new format. There's a lot of sweet decks. You know, new strategies are coming out all the time, and no one really has a consensus yet, from what I can tell, about what's going on. So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting times to be playing Pioneer, that's for sure.
And I've been following your Twitter recently, and you were saying you were kind of waiting for the bands to kind of peter out, you know, to kind of finish up before you actually got into Pioneer. And, you know, you're starting now, right? You're kind of, you know, getting ready for it. You're ramping up in getting into the Players' Championship. So
Yeah, that's right. I mean, basically, I was just waiting for Oko to get banned because, like, everyone knew it was going to.
Yeah.
And luckily, they banned it right before the holidays, so I've been able to play Pioneer since then, and it's been a lot of fun. I don't anticipate they're going to ban anything on Monday, which is great. So I think this is the format that we're going to see from now until the Players' Tour weekends start up.
So because you are also exploring the format with us today, we are the first Pioneers, and we're all about exploring Pioneer. We're not pros, but, you know, we have pros on from time to time. So hopefully, I mean, if you don't mind, I can introduce our topic today, which is we're planning on exploring the different planes of Pioneer. So my idea, my concept was, you know, Wizards kind of started this new take on how they build sets and how they design cards and things like that. And, like, this is coming all to fruition in the Pioneer format.
Yes, I see.
I asked you, I believe, before the show, and I remember I asked you on that previous interview that we did for the Frontier podcast, and you said you really liked Innistrad Block.
Yeah.
So I thought we would talk about Innistrad today.
Sure thing.
But one thing I wanted to ask real quick for both of you guys, how do you think, like, Pioneer is going to, how is it going to be, like, different from the other Eternal formats, like Modern or Legacy, because of this new design, the new design concept or the new design idea? Like, will it play similar, or will it be like a totally different format from
I can
Modern?
Jump in first here. Kind of on the topic of what you're saying is why we're looking specifically at some of these, you know, blocks on their own, or we're going to look at things like that on their own, is what's so nice about this recent kind of one power level, one complexity level that Standard has had for quite a long time, not quite a long time, but, you know, the last few years at least, is the fact that, you know, they really build for this specific format, and then getting to take this puzzle piece and put it together with this one and this one, mm-hmm. that's what's really interesting for me about Pioneer, is that you get to take Innistrad as a plane and the themes that they built for that Standard format, and then you get to kind of mix and match that with the other entirely thought-out ideas from other planes. And mm-hmm. that coming together really is what's nice for me about Pioneer. And with Modern, you don't really get that. It's all about power level, I'd say, in Modern.
Yeah. What do you think, Christian?
Yeah, I definitely would have to agree with that. But yeah, for me also, like, how would I say this? Basically, I don't know, like, we have a lot of, I think how we were saying, like, basically we have planes that have been repeated over time. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
revisited, yeah.
Yeah, revisited, sure, sorry. And, yeah, so we get to see a lot of that in Pioneer as well. And it's kind of like some of, you know, you have some old Standard decks or whatnot that kind of lay the foundation for some of the decks that we expect to see. Just because, you know, if, you know, certain some of these decks, they've kind of dominated their respective Standard formats. Like, you have Zombies, you have, like, the Bant Company decks, mm-hmm. You know, the Mono Blue Devotion, etc. Like, basically, like, we're going to see a lot of those decks, but they're all going to look a little bit different now because they all have more mm-hmm. tools at their disposal. And I think that's what excites me the most, is because I feel that, you know, you're going to see a wide, you know, range of different decks. And basically, like, they all got better from having these extra sets to work with. As far as, like, how mm-hmm. the games are going to play out, I think it'll definitely be, like I said earlier, more reminiscent of Extended. Except that we don't have mm-hmm. the rotation, so probably, you know, further down the line, it's going to start to maybe, possibly, look more like Modern, but I feel like that won't be the case for quite a while. So I think...
It's like 5 years down the road.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, right around there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be definitely my favorite constructive format for the foreseeable future.
I also kind of feel like there's not one right way or, like, one correct build for... You know, archetypes, like, I feel like there's a couple different ways you could build something like Abzan. There's a couple different ways to build Mono Red, for example.
Yeah, I agree. Like I mean, if, you know, people, if you just look online and you see the results of the different decks, like, it's like, I feel like you see the same deck over and over, but they're all slightly different, you know? There's, like, infinite different builds of Mono Black, Mono Red, etc., like, all the two-color decks, so, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And, I mean, this format, it's very unexplored, so it's going
to
be fun.
I wanted to add on what you were saying, just it's a kind of forward-looking way to think about it, is when I'm seeing... I'm just trying to think, like, right now, there are definitely decks that have holes in them that will potentially be filled in the future. You know, some of them are as simple as, you know, there's a good Abzan deck, but it doesn't have great mana. And the fact that there's those kind of obvious places where we know the deck will improve and branch out in the future, again, compared to something like Modern, you don't really have, like, oh man, this is the, you know, the Death Shadow deck, but it really wishes it had, I don't know, this check land that it doesn't have.
Yeah.
So you don't really see those natural expansion spaces like you can in Pioneer.
Yes.
Kind of an off topic there. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and move us forward here, Ryan?
Well, are you guys ready to get started? I want to talk about Innistrad. I love Innistrad.
I'm ready,
Everybody loves Innistrad. But we're not talking about the old Innistrad. We're talking about the new Innistrad. Today, we're going to be exploring the plane of Innistrad in Pioneer. So we're going to be talking mainly about Shadows of Innistrad and Eldritch Moon, and as well as any other reprints that might have happened in M19 or M20, you know, that, you know, with cards that you think kind of, you know, came from that, you know, how do I say, Eldritch Horror theme.
I see.
So, let's start off, my first question for both of you guys is, what does, like, in general, what do Innistrad Black cards bring to the Pioneer formats? Like, what's, like, the overarching theme? What does it allow you to do in Pioneer?
Well, I think the glaring theme to start off is kind of like a, you know, some tribes, like mainly the Spirit Tribe, of course, but the Zombie Tribe as well. Like, I feel like both of those decks are going to be players in the format, and, you know, pretty much the core cards of those decks all come from the Innistrad plane. Of course, you know, with spirits, you have, like, Selfless Spirit, Spell Queller, Rattle Chain, etc. Then for zombies, you have, like, Diagraph, Colossus, Crypt Breaker, cards like that.
Prized Amalgam as well.
Yeah, that one, and that one is different, because that one, it's a zombie as well, but it's, like, that card is pretty much, it has its own deck built around basically just that card, which are, like, the what's called the Dredgeless Dredge decks right now.
So Spirits has already been doing really well. Spirits has already been doing really well, though, right?
I'm sorry?
I said the Spirits deck has already put up some good results, I think.
It's getting there. It had a bit of a blip in the fire, and then I kind of think that it's mostly gone to, like, Blue-White Flash, which is only partially a Spirits deck. But yeah, I'm glad you kind of brought us here right away, because I think that's one of the things that was strong in Innistrad.
Yeah.
And I would go beyond just Spirits and Zombies, you know. Vampires has been a deck that's been showing up a little bit, and I think that there are some cards in there that come from this block that matter. And then the other real big one was Humans, was really supported by this block, and I think some of the strongest human decks really depend on, you know, Thalia's Lieutenant in particular.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Personally, I haven't seen too many human decks myself, but I am, you know, Thalia's Lieutenant is definitely a card to keep an eye on and see how it goes down. And then with Vampires, yeah, I think without a doubt, the two most powerful cards to the vampire decks are, like, Knight of the Ebon Legion and Sorin. I forget what's it. Sorin.
Imperious Bloodlord.
Yeah, that card is just nuts. So, I mean, all these tribe decks are all pretty good.
We get a lot of good tribal cards, I think, just kind of like. What's the newest artifact that gives +1/+1 and lets you pay 3 mana to search?
I know exactly which card you're talking about.
Icon of Ancestry?
Yes, Icon of Ancestry.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's
right, see, I'm not that sleepy.
Yeah.
But definitely the most powerful ones, I do agree, Spirits. In Zombies, they have the, what is it? The Rally Ancestor zombie decks are out there.
Oh, yeah, there's the Black White version, because it utilizes the Corpse Knight and the Wayward zombie, and then it has the rally, and then rank, and then rank. It's from M19.
Endless Ranks of the Dead.
Yeah. Oh, no. Return to Ranks.
Return to Ranks. Yeah. Which I think it's definitely the best of the two, just because you get to cast it for a lot more. So
it's free, basically. You just invoke it. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, so other than tribal strategies, there was more tribal.
You know, we're leaving one out here. How close are we to getting a wolf or werewolf?
Yes, I was going to talk,
because that's kind of the fifth one here.
Huntmaster.
We saw the seeds in a couple places. You know, there was kind of a, you know, oh, I guess right now Wicked Wolf's probably the strongest one, and that doesn't quite have a tribal synergy.
Yeah, I was looking at that, but I'm not sure we're quite there yet. That's the only thing. Because I feel like there's probably just other more powerful things that you could be doing, at least in green, because the green decks right now in this format are mostly about Llanowar Elf and Elvish Mystic. So it's kind of tough to play green right now about those. Although there are some decks that accomplish that.
We really need Huntmaster of the Fells in this format.
That would be a nice one, yeah.
If wolves are gonna be competitive.
I would have to.
Sorry, agree. I know. I wanted to talk about wolves too. Sorry, I jumped to the next topic.
So I mean, quick. Maybe Tolsimir, and there was like the new Arwen. No, that one's really bad. All right.
So, what other themes? What other archetypes do you see you know, Pioneer getting from the Innistrad plane.
So the go ahead.
Sorry, I was gonna say we do have a couple. So we have, I would say, three. So there's the, you know, the one I mentioned earlier, the quote unquote dredgeless dredge deck. Mm-hmm. That's basically, you know, exists because of Amalgam.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the blue red emerge strategies, which were, you know, doing okay. I know Corey Baumeister was championing blue red emerge pretty hard, at least earlier on in the format.
Is that Elder Deep Fiend one?
Yeah, Elder Deep Fiend, Rekindling Phoenix, mm-hmm. etc. So that deck. And then the last deck I would say that's kind of centered around Innistrad is Delirium.
Yeah.
So because you get Traverse to Uvenwald, Emrakul, Grim Flayer, Ishkana. You know, all these cards are very powerful, and you know, definitely around that standard format, that was the black green Delirium decks. They, you know, they did dominate for a small period for sure.
Yeah, they actually have. I think as far as like designing special mechanics, I think Delirium was very well balanced. It didn't feel as broken as like Energy or, you know, any of those other type of, you know, set specific mechanics. It took a lot of setup, but it did have a very powerful payoff, you know.
Your Ishkana. Yeah, I would agree.
And stuff like that in your, of course, your Emrakuls. Was there anything else that you wanted to add, Kevin? Were there any other strategies or themes that
I was going to kind of go broader, just looking at Innistrad, is that the graveyard was a really important part of Innistrad in this block. And we did kind of see that. You know, we saw Delirium being in all of the colors for the most part. You know, we talked about the Dredge deck being part of that. You know, some of the zombie stuff as well. Yeah, it kind of all goes together in that way.
Yeah, I was going to kind of add on to that. I was going to say, like, the discard strategies, like cards that let you discard, you know, put stuff into your graveyard and whatnot. Some like blue cards and some red cards and the madness.
Lightning Axe. Lightning Phoenix Axe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think pretty much, yeah, graveyard, we can kind of agree, is kind of the main theme of the Innistrad block in Pioneer. If you are doing anything with the graveyard, you're going to be playing Pioneer cards. Sorry, you're going to be playing Innistrad cards.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, my next topic I wanted to talk about is, like, what cards do you see as being the best Pioneer cards from Innistrad?
Yeah, so we definitely, you know, we've touched on some of them already, but...
Should we do a top 10?
There's quite a few. There's more than 10 that are pretty good. But yeah, I mean, you have, like, Traverse to Uvenwald, Tireless Tracker, which is not just for...
So let's just go over, why are these good? Why are these, like, some of the best cards in Pioneer? Why is Tireless Tracker good?
Well, it's kind of like one of the more powerful threats that you can have in your, you know, green mid-range decks, just because it kind of, you know, kind of snowballs to take over the game. You have, like, you have... I guess you don't have that. You don't have the fetch land, so it's not as good as it was before. But you do have, like, Fabled Passage and such. So
yeah, and it's,
you know, it's just a powerful card.
It's immediate value and it's incremental value. So those things kind of combine well. Yeah. And it can grow. You know, it becomes a bigger threat while it's still getting value. So you don't have to kind of take off to get your value there.
Yeah, and it's also in the same format as Corsair of Kruphix now, which, you know, teams up very well together.
Yeah, of course, and, you know, it's very conveniently a 3-drop, so it was one of the best 3-drops in the company decks back then, and I expect that to remain the case in Pioneer for sure.
Yeah, I would say it's probably my number one choice, as far as, like, it's top 3 at least, if not number 1, because it goes in every green deck. Any deck playing green will play Tracker.
I was going to go with Liliana, I think, is my number 1, probably.
Ooh, Liliana's pretty good, too.
She's good, but she's not the best.
Just because I feel that she's mostly relegated to the sideboard, but there are a lot of decks with a lot of X-Wings right now, which, you know, makes cards like Liliana and Chain Whirler quite good.
Yeah.
Like, even the Phoenix decks, some of them have stopped playing Young Pyromancer and have gone to Thing in the Ice instead.
Yep.
Just to try to be better against, you know, cards like Liliana and Chain Whirler.
Yeah, I like her a lot. I like her -2 actually a lot as well, especially if you're playing... I mean, there's not a lot of black decks I mean, I guess the mono black decks really don't really need that minus two effect because a lot of those have recursion anyways. But
yeah, you got the castle, you've got things like Murderous Rider, which have a lot of mono sync for you.
But if you're playing any kind of like mid-range deck and, you know, like Abzan or I don't even Grixis or something, that minus two getting back, you know, Siege Rhino or getting back a Nicol Bolas Ravager or something like that could be really powerful.
Agreed.
And of course, if you do get off the ultimate, you win the game, pretty much.
Yeah, few have defeated a Liliana ultimate.
So what else?
Yeah, so what else? So yes, I mean Spell Queller, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes into the tribal decks and the company decks, of course. Emrakul, like I mentioned earlier, it's probably like the best like over the top going over the top like finisher for all these mid range Delirium decks.
Oh, and don't forget it's in the new Lotus Storm deck. I faced that for the first time yesterday.
Oh yeah, what'd you think of that?
Is it though?
Oh man, that was nasty.
Yeah, that. Oh, also that deck, you know, really wouldn't function if it were not for Pour Over the Pages, which is another Innistrad card. So that I would say that, you know, that card alone makes this deck function.
Yeah,
it's probably the most important card in that deck.
Yeah, untap two lands and cast six mana. You know, or use six mana again from your Lotus Fields. Yeah, it's.
Pretty broken, yeah.
You know, we're kind of already going into what I said I was really liking about Innistrad is that Innistrad really got covered because Kaladesh came right after it and was just such a powerful set that we're kind of getting to see some of these cards shine in a way that they never quite did in their own format.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, like Thing of the Ice, I'm so happy to actually see that being a good card because I always thought it was going to be a good card, but it never saw any play in Standard. Very limited play.
Hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a different time back during Standard, just because, you know, the best things to be doing in that Standard were definitely either casting Collected Company or casting...
We had the Blue-White Flyers as well in that format, right? With Smuggler's Copter and...
Oh, yeah, the Blue-White Flash deck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. That deck was not very fun. I mean, it was fun. I just wanted to say it wasn't very fair.
Yeah, there we go.
That deck was quite good. Let me see. What else have I been
Avacyn, as long as we're talking about Blue-White Flash Flyers.
I like Avacyn. I think Avacyn's a solid card. I would have her probably maybe in my top 10.
Yeah,
it's a great card for sure.
Glad to see she's back, because I think that she was kind of MIA for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that card was very OP in that Standard format because it was also in the green-white token decks, if I remember correctly. And that was one of the best decks in the format for a while. So, she was definitely a big part of that Standard format when she was there.
Yeah.
I
think Thalia Lieutenant is still a good card as well. I think maybe, you know, just Humans is kind of underpowered at the moment and needs a couple more good cards to be competitive again, but I still think Thalia's Lieutenant is one of the best.
Yeah, it's just like this format so far seems like it's pretty centered around the aggressive strategies,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so far I just feel like the aggressive strategies that we've been seeing so far are probably just doing more powerful things. Like the mono black deck it's honestly one of my favorite decks right now.
Is it still good after all the bans?
Oh no, that deck's very good.
Yeah. So good.
Like for me, it's like early contender to be the best deck in the format. But we're not 100% there yet because we don't really know for sure.
Yeah.
But it's one of the it's just such a resilient deck,
mm-hmm.
with a very strong curve. You know, probably the best mutable deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has, you know, the best disruption in the format too. Like you have the best removal spells and you have the best discard spells.
Yep. Yep.
So it's just a very resilient deck, and the sideboard is quite good as well, just because it's well positioned against like a wide range of decks, because you have cards like Noxious Grasp, you know, that
mm-hmm.
you know, go against a lot of stuff. You have the Kalidus.
Yep, Kalidus really good, and then of course the one that destroys Planeswalkers. That's not Noxious Grasp, is it?
Noxious Grasp destroys green and white.
Yeah,
permanents.
But also has Murderous Rider. Pretty strong.
Yeah, Murderous Rider, there you go.
Is the other really good card
in that deck. Which is nice because, you know, the card can be quite effective against multiple different strategies, because if you're just playing like against an aggressive burn deck or something, you don't have to cast the downfall half. You just the swift end, you just cast it at the 2/3 lifelinker.
Yep.
So I don't know, it seems like definitely one of my top decks right now.
So I wanted to ask you guys about like stuff that's not from SOI or EMN. Would you say that Grafdigger's Cage should belong on the plane of Innistrad, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
That should be.
It was originally.
It was from Dark Ascension,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, Dark Ascension. And I think that's probably a really good card, a really good sideboard card in Pioneer.
Yeah, I mean, especially if these graveyard decks start to pick up more steam, you know, we're going to start seeing some people play Grafdigger's Cage in the sideboard.
I mean, it stops Coco decks, it stops Aetherworks decks.
Yeah, Aetherworks, Coco, Amalgram.
Yeah. So, I like
it. Well, it's creatures, right?
Yeah, creatures.
I guess the Marvel decks can still, like, play Ugin off it or whatnot, off the Marvel then.
No, you can't... Spells can't be cast? Or is it creatures?
I think it's...
it's creatures.
Pull it.
Yeah.
Might be one way and not the other. Let me see exactly how it words it.
I'm not sure if it was cards can't be played from your library or graveyard, or creatures can't be played from your library or graveyard. Because I thought it stopped flashback as well.
Oh, I think you're right, actually.
Not totally sure.
Let's see.
Grafdigger's
Cage. Well, while he's looking...
Creature cards can't enter from graveyards or libraries, but they can't cast spells in graveyards or libraries.
So it does both. Yeah, so it does completely hose it, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of funny business where you could, like, move a non-creature permanent from the graveyard to the play, but yeah, it's not... Stops most of that.
Well, yeah, cool. It seems like Wizards is trying to get around some of these wordings recently. I heard that there was a new spell in Theros that kind of gets around Spellqueller. I don't know if you guys have seen it,
there's
the blue
spell. Yeah, there's the one that exiles a spell from the stack. That gets around a few things.
Also, I heard something regarding like the new Thassa.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you blink Master, it technically... It's like, wait, like the tokens don't die, I think?
Yes, I can confirm that. It was the same with Eldrazi Displacer. Could do the same thing.
I see. Cool. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I'm definitely a big fan. I love the Mono Blue deck back when it was in Standard. Well, I haven't played much of it in Pioneer yet, but definitely one of my things to do.
Yeah, it was a bit of a deck. You know, it was making some shows, and it's getting a couple things already from this new set. I think that it's worth looking at that new Thassa. It's worth looking at that, like, the Demigod.
Yeah.
It's like an X3 or something, yeah.
Agree. Yeah, no, definitely, what comes out in this set, gotta keep a close eye, just because, you know, some of these cards definitely have the potential to change the format drastically. I know, obviously, the major talk of the town right now is the Heliod Walking Ballista shenanigans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I'm not too sure how good it's gonna be. I mean, you know, obviously, like, everyone's gonna try it. But whether or not it kind of like becomes like an oppressive force, I think remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Pithing Needle stops Ballista. Solemnity stops creatures from getting counters.
Yeah, you have Sorcerer Spyglass as well.
Yeah, so I mean, there's stuff that you could play.
The Hound is also another interesting one.
The 3/3 black white one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's basically Grafdigger's Cage on the body.
Yeah, yeah. It's, Hound with all the abilities.
It stops creatures from entering the graveyard, or from the graveyard, but not cards, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, it literally, its text is literally Grafdigger's Cage.
I see.
Except, oh no, but it doesn't stop the library, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, just from the graveyard.
So, yes.
Couple other cards, anything else you think should belong in, like, best cards from the Innistrad plane?
I think Grim Flayer has an argument for being in there as well, just because it's another card that kind of... You know, if you're trying to build a Delirium deck, that's one of the cards you build around as well. very powerful ability.
Yeah, people got really excited about Grim Flare when Pioneer was announced, but I haven't really seen it at all recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. I've played against a few of the Delirium decks, but...
Is Push keeping it down, or what?
I don't think so.
Hard to be aggressive in green-black, maybe. That might be part of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, because most of these green-black decks aren't aggressive decks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I know I mentioned Traverse earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's utilized in one other deck that's not just, like, you know, Delirium, and that's the Soul Flare deck.
Soul Flare. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you have, like, Zetalpa, Questing Beast.
There's a lot of good targets in there.
Yeah, no, this is definitely one of the emerging decks in the format at the moment. Yeah, you have Lotlif Troll, Sylvan Caryatid, Murderous Rider, Questing Beast, Soul Flare, Zetalpa, and then it has 4 Traverse, 4 Gather the Pack, 4 Salvage, 4 Vessel of Nascency. So it's kind of like a dredge deck in its own right.
Except
that its payoff comes from your hand, of course.
I feel like Traverse has like another deck out there. You know, other than like the Soul Flare deck and the Delirium deck, I feel like you could build another deck around that. Especially now that we're getting back into Theros, we're gonna have a lot of enchantments plus creatures. It's gonna be a lot easier to activate Delirium.
Yeah, I'd say it definitely hurt not having fetches. I think that Traverse with fetches makes it a lot easier. It was really only 3 types you need because you always had a fetch in Modern and such. With Pioneer, it really is, you know, one more type that you need. So we'll see if that helps with enchantments.
Yeah.
I had one more card I wanted to talk about. You guys can tell me if you think it deserves to, you know, be called one of the best Pioneer cards. I really like Nahiri, the Harbinger.
It's more interesting now with the gods emerging. Just because if I'm not mistaken, Nahiri just exiles any
enchantment.
Enchantment, even if it's not tapped.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's tapped artifact. Or any enchantment.
Yeah, it's tapped artifact, tapped creature, or enchantment.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm.
And that search ability is amazing as well.
And we can search up
an artifact or a creature and put it into play, and then it gets haste, you can attack, and then it comes back to your hand at the end of the turn.
Did you ever did you ever put, what was it, Thraxus in your deck and try that out?
Me?
Yeah, or... What is the dragon, that new dragon, the like 5-mana one?
Oh, Drakaseth or whatever? No.
Drakaseth, that's
no. I've been
we're talking about that.
I've been playing black white, or sorry, red white control, and I've been playing with angels. So I got Lyra, I got Gisela, I got, you know, Bruna in there, and I've been playing at Hallelujah in town, and I've consistently gotten out Brisella, which has been.
Well, Bruna's on cast, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean. At the end of the turn, if you have Gisela and Bruna in play, they meld. So I've got to play with Brisella like 4 or 5 times, and it's just the best Timmy filling in the world.
All right.
Sweet.
So you were kind of, as we were talking about some cards there, you kind of brought me back to one more theme that Innistrad Herald had that we didn't talk about much, and I don't know if that means that it was a bit of a fail, is how did you feel like the transform cards were handled for Innistrad this time compared to how they were really, you know, first introduced last time when we were in Innistrad?
I don't know. I mean, well, I guess for Constructed, you know, I don't feel like they were that great. Like, at least they don't seem like they're having much of an effect on Pioneer. But they definitely had, like, a bigger effect on decks. Like in Modern, you had
Thalianis is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Because I was thinking of like what's his name? The 2/2.
The white one.
Thus.
No.
Man, sorry. I'm just bad with card names. Okay, here we go. Dusquash Recruiter.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
that's a good one. Like with the whole Devoted Druid shenanigans, Walking Ballista for infinite, etc. I don't know. I think I think they were fine. I don't really have many, you know, strong opinions about the flip cards. They definitely saw play more play in Standard than they're seeing in Pioneer.
So maybe some of them were playable, but they just didn't really handle it. It's not something you can really build around or, like, you know, feel like you've got a strong transform theme kind of thing.
Agreed. Yeah, there was definitely nothing like centered around transform, but you know, you had like West Vale Abbey, which is pretty good.
I love that card too.
Like, that was great in Standard, and then, you know, Thing of the Ice is mostly a modern powerhouse, and
maybe Lamhole Pacifist, maybe
Village. Yeah, Pacifist was good.
That was in the Cocoa deck, right?
It was good for a little bit with the Cocoa decks. Mm-hmm. And the green, I think it was in the green white token sideboard as well when that was in Standard, but I don't think we're gonna see any of that in action in this format.
The mono white card, the mono white humans. You remember that or
the flip? Well, I certainly know that deck. That's one I love.
Township Gossip Monger.
Yeah,
yeah. Or, Village Gossip Monger.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
One mana, 2/3.
Mostly unlimited though. And, Avacyn, of course, we were just talking about that one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to see too much of them in Pioneer. Like I said, we're seeing more of the Thing in the Ice now because of, you know, Young Pyro maybe not being as well positioned, but haven't really seen much Abbeys at all. Although we have seen a little bit of, I know some of these decks have popped around, it's the Handwire,
the
Garrison. Captain. Yeah, the one that becomes a star.
The Handwire Battlements and Garrison.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the red 2/3 that makes tokens.
I like that card. It's slow, but like if you attack with it, it's really good.
Agreed. So, that deck is like one of the many mono red decks that are on this format right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, like, you know, we've seen Mono Red Dragons, Mono Red Devotion, Mono Red Aggro, Mono Red Goblins, like...
It's a great feeling.
Mono Red Eldrazi.
It might be a bigger red now, too. Yeah,
I love it. Every time I go to an event, I see new decks. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Oh, man. I can't imagine how awesome it must be to be in Japan right now with all these, like, constant Pioneer tournaments going on.
Oh, yeah. Every day. I can play every day if I want. I tried doing that, and then no one was there right before New Year's, because everyone was doing the New Year's thing, but sure. Anyways. So,
all right, so I've kind of got two more places I want to go with Innistrad.
Yeah.
One is looking forward. So kind of what I want to say is, like, you know, we talked about some of the themes. We talked about what we like about the plane, maybe mechanically. What do we want to see if we return to Innistrad in the future for Pioneer and in general? And then the other way I want to look is going backwards. So Pioneer, if we had gone one more block back, we'd have had the original Innistrad on there. Was there anything from the original Innistrad you wish got into Pioneer? So we can kind of handle those one at a time. I kind of just laid
them both out there. I already said I want Huntmaster.
Okay, that's not bad.
Huntmaster's a good one. I'm definitely not going to be that guy and say Snapcaster Range.
Oh my god.
Snapcaster, Faithless Looting, Gristlebrand. Oh my god. Yeah, I'm definitely, I don't know about you guys, I'm definitely glad
that'd be modern.
We didn't get the whole block in there. Because yeah, that whole block, it has so many impactful cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking over now. It's definitely quite powerful. I guess if we were gonna have one card that could maybe tip the scales one way or another, I would say it could be Mayor of Averbrook to try and get the whole wolf thing going.
I mean, there's some of these that could be reprinted in like a core set.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
I mean, just a little more to push kind of the tribes, you think?
Yeah.
Like, you even this card I just went by, Hamlet Captain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's another one that could maybe help push.
I thought that one got reprinted. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
M19 or something.
I can't remember. That one I do believe got reprinted.
Really?
The one where it attacks and gets +1/+1, right? It's a green one. Mm-hmm. One.
Jeez.
Sorry, one in a green.
Behind in the times over here. What about Intangible Virtue? Was that one reprinted?
No, that would be a good card to cut. I don't think that's not too powerful either, because we don't have like really good token decks right now.
Well, there are some, there are definitely some token decks coming out. I mean, so, like, okay, what do we have for tokens, right? We have,
Before we had green-white.
We have Young Pyromancer. Yeah,
that's basically...
there's one deck that I recently played that I actually liked a lot. I don't know how good it's gonna be, but one deck that I played recently was Mono Red Goblin Tokens with Obelisk of Urd.
Nice.
And that deck was a lot of fun, because you can basically go turn 3, 18 power in play, go. You know? Like, turn 1 Goblin, turn 2 either Dragon Fodder or...
Hordling Outburst is another one in there.
Yeah, that's the turn 2 either... Dragon Fodder or the other goblin from M19, it makes a 1/1 as well. It's like Mog War Marshal, but
yeah,
you don't have to pay Echo. And then turn 3 Outburst, that gives you 6 goblins, play the Obelisk, and then they're basically dead on board on turn 3. So I think it'd be cool to see a card like Virtue maybe kind of like helping out some token decks. Same thing with Lingering Souls that would be a nice one. And then... I feel like this would also kind of make cards like Declaration and Stone even better.
Yeah.
Because obviously that card is just amazing against any token strategy. And I think the card is solid right now. It's actually one of the cards in my list. Just because, like, the decks that utilize it, right, that would want to utilize it right now, like, you know, an Aggressive Human deck or the Spirits deck or whatnot, like, they're not really too concerned about... You know, the clue that their opponents are getting from it, because if you're playing an aggressive deck, like being able to like kill, you know, all their
against like mono their blockers, black.
Yeah, it's quite good against that. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, being able to kill their best blockers or whatnot or their best creature, and like you're not worried about them spending 2 mana to get that card back.
Yeah,
because if you're an aggressive deck, you're gonna be pressuring them, and they're gonna probably not have the time or the mana to invest into getting the card back. So often enough, it'll just be like 2 mana, you know, kill your best creature.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about what we're looking forward to in the future. You said or looking forward to the past. So what
things we wanna, you know, archetypes, cards that we want them to do more of in the future, or things from the past we'd like them to do more of, you know, draw back from the old Innistrad.
I mean, I would like them to reprint maybe some of these mechanics that we've had, you know, maybe like Madness or...
Undying was one for me that I'm like, you know, that was in Innistrad, and we haven't really seen that come back.
Give me Strangleroot Geist back.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Oh,
God, that card was fun. Or the zombie... Man, sorry again with the card names.
Giraffe's Messenger?
Giraff's Messenger.
Oh, yeah, that would be scary.
Right, Grave Crawler?
Devotion coming.
Yeah. Hey, definitely. Really, I mean, it's interesting, though, like, the zombie decks, the 3-drop slot is quite...
Staffed.
there's just a lot of stuff you can do for 3 mana.
Emerge.
There's a lot of different ways you can go with it, so...
Emerge plus Undying would be so broken. I would love it.
Ooh,
like yeah.
Another one, as far as mechanics, I wouldn't mind seeing curses handled more. That was in the original Innistrad. We've seen curses here and there, but they didn't really get played as a mechanic, like an archetype.
Yeah, we still have, I think we have Curse of Death's Hold in Pioneer, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that the -1/-1 to all creatures? No, I don't think we have that in there. We had like 1 or 2 curses, though, I think.
I thought it was reprinted recently.
I feel like we had something similar. I will have to...
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, you're
scry
right.
My brain here.
I would also like to see Heartless Summoning back.
Ooh. Just more combo shenanigans?
Yes. That would be fun.
Yeah, it could definitely be a good one.
So what about you, Kevin? Did you have anything that you'd want to see? Or did we talk about everything already, or what?
We talked about some of them. Maybe, you know, we talked about the tribes, but I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more with Transform. You know, make real werewolves that have Transform feel like it's their mechanical identity. We didn't quite get that in Shadows.
Yeah. Yeah, that pretty much covers everything I wanted to talk about as far as, like, what I wanted to see in the future. Looking back or looking forward. So... I don't know if you guys have anything else. Maybe this is a good time to wrap it up.
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, we're just at the end of 2019 here. Is there anything about 2019 that you wanted to call out that you loved, hated, you know, personal growth, anything like that?
Well, 2019 was a pretty brutal year for me, you know, professional-wise or whatnot. But, you know, it is what it is. I honestly, like, I'm just looking more forward than anything else. I feel like 2019... you know, so like for someone like me who was like very invested in the, you know, high level play and such, I didn't get much of that. Even though I played, you know, all the tournaments I was normally going to play, but I don't know, man. I don't want to be like super negative about any of this stuff. Yeah. But
don't go dark.
But I don't know. I'm kind of honestly. I'm mostly just looking forward to getting past 2019. Yeah, and, you know, because I want to. I still want to play Magic. I still want to be very much involved in like the highest levels of play. Mm-hmm. And you know, while the landscape for competitive play has changed, like my love for it still hasn't. So, you know, it was nice to not have to play every single tournament.
Yeah.
Although I guess the worst part of 2019 for me was that I didn't get to go back to Japan. That was like, I was going to Japan like once a year, and 2019 was a off year for me. So that's all the more reason why I'm excited to go back soon. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to you coming over, man. I got the day off. Yeah. I have a place to stay. Just gotta work out how to get there. It's so expensive. Nice. Yeah.
I mean, what about you guys? What do you like the most about 2019?
I mean, I gotta say, like the most is Pioneer being an official format. Yes. I can't be unhappy with that going on.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's pretty great.
That was the happiest.
I wasn't sure how it was gonna be. But you know, now that I'm playing it, I've had a lot of fun this past couple of weeks. So awesome. I'm looking forward to more of it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I also think Pioneer was probably the high point of, you know, Magic in 2019. But for me, like, personally, doing this podcast, you know, with you, Kevin, has been great for me as well. And starting my own podcast about MTG in Japan is also kind of like my high points, I think.
Awesome.
All right, so you want to give us a couple shout-outs here? Anything for your Twitter, anything in your personal life that people should be...
Websites, etc., yeah.
Follow my Twitter at @ccalcano. I'll still be tweeting some stuff about Magic. I'll tweet some other stuff, but, you know, mostly Magic. And, I do have some stuff coming up, but nothing I can say just yet, ooh. I believe. But there will definitely be streaming in the very near future, like for real this time.
Nice.
So, awesome. You know, I guess you guys can look forward to that. And I'll be trying my best to, you know, play as much Magic as I can this year.
Yeah, I look forward to following your exploits.
Yeah, for our listeners out there, you guys can always reach us at MTG Frontier on Twitter, and we've also got a number of other ways to reach us. We're on we're always on Reddit, we're on Discord. Good ways to reach out if you want to contact us about anything you liked about this show. If you liked us going into something that was a little bit less on the pure competitive side this episode, I think I had fun with it, and I'm glad that we could have our guest on here. So one more huge thank you to you.
No problem.
Yeah, if there's anything we forgot, if you guys can remember some of the card names that Christian couldn't remember in the middle of the episode here, then just tweet out to us and we'll...
Yeah, we'll hopefully be getting more into like the competitive side as the metagame settles down and we get more, you know, tournament results and things like that. But, you know, everyone's kind of on the same boat right now. We're all exploring. So, you know, we'll explore with you.
Yep.
We are the first pioneers. Oh, and also, if you guys want to, contact me, you can find me on Twitter at @yoschwenky. That's YOSCHWENKY. And also, my website is www.thejapanhobbyist.com if you're looking up to learn more about MTG in Japan.
I was going to say there, it sounded like you were giving us a new catchphrase there. It almost sounded like that was the end of the show.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. We should do that from now on.
All right. Well, thank you one more time to Christian Calcano for coming on to our show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
We are the First Pioneer Podcast. We try and keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.